Let's
go to the beach.
Beach.
Let's
go
catch
a
vampire.
Okay, today, all you spooks, we are reviewing episode 2 of season 4 of Dracula, and this is Nosferatu's Beach Party.
It's a really fun episode. It's just the two of us. Also, we got news about Kyle from our live show. He wants to fuck Big Dipper, not
me. Oh my
God. So it's over. I'm sorry. Anyway, enjoy this episode. We recap Dracula season 4, episode 2. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Kyle, I miss you.
Forever Dog.
When your first choice is a big old bus,
you turn around and boom, you end up with us.
Hello, Fuglies.
Hello, Fuglies.
We are your Goulash Ghouls.
The Goulash Ghouls.
We are your Goulash Ghouls. I just can't do it.
And welcome to Spooky Seconds. Meepaw.
Where we recap every episode of Dracula Season 4. This week it's episode 2.
How exciting.
It is exciting. I'm having a wonderful time watching it.
I know. What a great show. Nosferatu Beach Party is the episode. And
yes.
Okay, so last week. Now, here, let's do some housekeeping up front, or some morgue keeping.
Oh, yes. We do not have a guest today.
Right. And we're not always going to have a guest. I think Meatball and I like to talk. Clearly, we do 2 episodes a week. So it's always fun to have a guest, but I think we were both like, we had more opinions to say, and there's only an hour, so we're just going to do it
ourselves. And I felt like I gave Eva enough time to talk, but I do also find that I was cutting her off the entire time.
I interrupted her
so many times. I was like, how is she not more mad about this?
I thought she was going to be pissed the whole
time.
Me she
too.
Just like, patiently was like, okay, you
Yeah, can... she would let us get out what we had to say, and then she'd be like, okay, and what I was saying was, and I was like, oh, right, you did have an opinion.
And we literally get to talk on the show constantly all the time, and still we're like, I think we should do one just us.
Yeah. So we will have more Dracula guests for future episodes, but we're doing it. So last week's episode, The queens had to reimagine horror icons, and my poor sexy little baby formaldehyde went home because she decided to wear club boots and can't paint her face. I don't know if she can or can't paint her face.
Well, formaldehyde, come on the show.
She opted to not.
And so then this week, the episode starts with this like 60s flashback movie clip of Nightmare Beach with the
bare-legged
boulets. And you know where they were at?
Gloved.
They went to the beach.
They went to the beach. Let's go get away. Now, I do have something to say, because during
They're
this episode...
Let's go to the beach. Each. Let's go kill a beach. I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
Let's go kill a beach. Now, I have something to say about this episode, because during my season, and I know I sound so stuck up, but we did a beach episode, and I told one of the producers, I was like, it would be really funny if they were like doing a 60s beach thing. And you pan down from them, like, dancing or doing something, and they had long toenails on. And the producer came back to me and said, yeah, they're not going to do that. They don't like that idea. Cut to them loving Zavaleta's fucking long toenails and doing
a
60s
beach thing. It's been 4 or 5 years or whatever. Like,
I mean, I'm not saying they stole it. I'm just saying it was a good idea then, and it was a great idea now. Loved it.
Loved it, gal. I just love to see them bare-legged in all those muscular armatures.
But they won't.
Honey,
okay,
they
so
work out.
You know the tall one has, like, those ring tattoos on his arm, like fisting tattoos. But you never see them because they're always wearing gloves.
But, and whatever the back tattoo is, honey, is that for, like,
It seems sexual.
String me up from you know people who put hooks in their backs?
Yeah. It seemed like very much like these are the points to lift from.
Okay, so we
so
get our little
back
black
in the
and white,
war.
And we see the boys. Let's talk about the boys. Ian and Andrew
Drew,
he
I think.
He just goes by Drew.
Who I was in a music video with the two of them for Pink Pony Club.
Okay, you better work.
Yes, it was really fun.
We love boys in Speedos.
We do. That Drew had a big old piece of meat in there. I could see him smuggling something.
So, okay, so the boudoir, so that's the setup, obviously, the black and white setup. We now know from the formula that it will return later, yes. Which I think is very cool.
It was really fun to see them dance.
And I love to see the, like, thematic thing change every week. I was sort of like, oh, are the masks going to come
I
back?
Was so glad that there was no masks.
But it's cool.
In this
it's
one.
Episodic.
Yeah, it's each one's going to be its own thing. So I love this. Not an ounce of rhythm with all those white people. Now, Mary Cherry, they're back in the boudoir.
Uh-huh.
Do you think it's
actually the next day? Or do you
well,
think
well, they were still
like
in makeup,
off?
So it must have been the same.
No, because they were not.
Oh,
they're not
definitely...
on their main stage makeup, floor show makeup.
I would believe it was the next day. Okay. I could believe that.
Let's talk about Mary Cherry's behavior in the boudoir. Why don't you get into it?
Mary Cherry and Astrid discuss if drag is about making things DIY or entertaining people. Listen, everybody has a different view of drag.
I felt like Astrid got caught up here because they're going back and forth and Astrid's like, yes, I won. I'm so proud. I made that whole look. You're just mad because your look, your belt broke. Like you didn't like, it wasn't a good look. And Mary's like, well, it's not about making things. It's about entertaining people. And Astrid's like, I disagree. It's about making things. We all know Astrid is an entertainer.
Yeah,
she's a musician.
You make it.
She's a dancer. It's for her, it's both those things. I think she just got caught up
she
in
got
the fight.
Really into like, I made all my own stuff and you were wearing whatever and your belt broke. But then like everyone was like, Astrid, your shit was falling apart the minute you left the stage. So it's like everybody on the show has no leg to stand on when they start an argument. Like well, they just literally want to start fighting and then everyone's like, no, you did the same thing.
I love the fighting though. I really feel like they had a meeting backstage and they were like, girls, let's go out there and give it to them. Because then moments later, they're all like, chummy as they like walk out of the workroom. You know what I mean?
Do you feel like these fights are happening? Because I know that they're all staying in a house, like basically together, or like they're roomed up two to a room somewhere. So I'm assuming that they're allowed to talk to each other outside of the show. Do you think they're having these fights and then getting on the show and rehaving them?
I think so. I also think if they're smart, they're doing the thing where they're going like, well, let's talk shit about this and let's talk shit about that. Because it makes for good, it makes for good fodder. Like, they're being really honest with each other about all the looks.
Very honest.
And I'm like, I feel like on other shows, people are just like, it wasn't for me, but good for you. And on this one, they're like, girl, your face was not giving what you thought it was giving.
And Mary did just kind of point out each girl. Like when
and I was
she...
like, did you see your marshmallow costume?
I loved it. But when she came for Sigourney, that's when I was like, that's... No, don't do that.
She was literally flawless.
Yeah.
That was pretty wild.
Hoso and Astrid, are they fucking?
Girl, everyone seemed to think so. And that is probably a storyline that we are not getting because it's at the house.
Yeah. But they were very chummy standing next to each other. And like, even when at the end, when they was like fighting, Hoso was like sticking up for Astrid, like she was gonna put her neck out for her, and it's kind of like it's still a competition against all these other girls.
Here's the thing about Coco: maybe she loves the spook, and maybe she loves the ook, but
I don't think she
not...
knew who Morticia Adams was.
Wait, maybe she's not like maybe she's just like into the idea of like blood and like gore, but maybe she's not like she doesn't have like an encyclopedic knowledge of like classic campy horror film, which is totally acceptable
and
great.
In her full defense, Morticia Adams and Elvira, I think Elvira was like slightly based off of Morticia.
Girl,
it's the same dress, so it's like. So maybe she just got tripped up in the moment, or maybe she was like, okay, there can't be two Elviras. I have a similar dress.
Maybe she was high. Maybe she got a little
stoned
before they started.
Maybe she was just lit. Yeah, she could have been lit. Because
moments later, she calls Zavaleta Vazaleta.
Vazaleta, and it's clear that...
And Miss Sigourney was like, Vazaleta?
Vazaleta.
Okay, so this is my favorite part. Is when this is what I love. Like on other shows, you kind of know who gets eliminated, but the cast doesn't know. Of the two people who are in the extermination, they don't know who's going to come back in the workroom. So
they all talk shit about Zavaleta
while she's waiting behind a paper thin wall.
Yeah. And it's so funny her entrance. She just comes in waving those middle fingies. At all the girls, and she admits that she peed herself in a coffin. So we do have that in common.
Okay, Diva, the piss queen.
The piss queens. And wait until she moves to LA and meets our favorite scat queen. Now,
and then Tell me about the fight between Zavaleta and Sigourney, because Zavaleta accuses Sigourney of like playing games.
No.
Or of being
Mary
fake.
Mary Cherry says that she's fake. It starts with Mary Cherry saying, "You're fake and you're playing games, and I see through your little games." And then Zavaleta comes in and she's like, "I'm not like y'all. I don't play games. The only game I'm going to play is this game because we're competing. That's the game."
Okay. I just felt no one knew what the fight was.
I think all Mary Cherry wanted to get across was that she can tell that Sigourney is like playing the game.
Being strategic in a competition?
Yes. And I think that makes her mad because Mary Cherry is just being authentically herself.
Girl, but Mary Cherry, out of anyone who's playing a game, it's Mary Cherry because all she's doing is going around poking people.
But that's authentically what Mary Cherry does. I'm like, yes, that is what she's doing, but that is who Mary Cherry is. But I don't know. I don't get like a game playing from Sigourney. I think she's just like there to compete.
She's making a TV show.
I think she's just there to fucking compete. She hasn't really talked down about anybody fully.
Right.
She's only been like, she hasn't really defended anybody. She's just like, I'm worried about me.
I think playing the game would be if like when everything, spoiler, goes down with Astrid later, she like, they cut back to her interview and she's like, and just what I wanted. I knew her big, amazing dress was going to be incredible and I didn't want her to wear it on the runway. But she's not doing that. Like right now, she's just like making TV and throwing casting glances and throwing snide remarks into the air.
But then, I mean, we'll get to it, but she said something weird to Astrid in those last moments.
She sure did. Let's get to that
in
a moment.
Okay.
First,
so
we
then,
get the alert. Ooh,
girl, a video message comes
they
on.
Don't say
ooh, spook.
They
ooh,
go,
ah, girl.
Monster. Ah. Monsters.
Yeah, the Boulay brothers in the red plastic molded look again. And the
so that's
going to
be
stunning.
The video look for the season, right?
I'm sure that they shot fresh videos for each one and they're just edited in, right?
Oh, then they get dressed each time in the same look?
No, I think they shot all those after. And the videos that the girls are watching are probably just like, right? Don't you think?
Yes, but I'm just saying they're going to be in that red look for all the
videos. For all of them, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, they look fucking stunning.
Yeah, it's why not? Why not wear them? Hello, uglies. Get ready, my little crustaceans. Hello, uglies. Get ready, my little crustaceans. Moonlit beaches and bloodthirsty leeches, midnight beach party for vampires only.
Okay.
For this week's challenge, they have to design and create an original look and model the design in a music style lip sync performance.
Oh, music video style. Sorry, that was supposed to be music video style.
It was music video style of lip sync performance,
and
it's a duet.
And then, surprise, she's a duet.
Oh, it's a duet. And you will be in teams.
And they say the looks can be horrifying, campy, gory, or glamorous, which I like because they're really opening it up because it is kind of a campy prompt.
Yes. And it's a very campy prompt. And I'm glad that they're like saying campy because then I'm like, I can look to Mary Cherry. I can look to any of these girls to camp it up.
You wish you could look to Mary Cherry. I guess the only way
I couldn't even see her face.
See it. She had a flashlight on her head.
She brought her own spotlight and her own fans.
Honey, she was like, fuck your production.
Let me go to the hardware
store. I'm the story producer. I'm bringing my lighting system. I got fans. Girl. Okay, and then the other big surprise is they were like, you know what? Saint is not the only diva we are trying to bring back. There is another monster joining the competition. Dolly is welcomed back into the competition.
Goodbye, my little baby formaldehyde. I have a new favorite.
Daddy Dolly. Diva.
Punch me!
She wore that. She
Hit
walked
me.
In with that mustache and you about flooded your basement, huh?
I fully did. I was like, holy shit. I was a past subscriber of their OnlyFans, and I will tell you, everything is A-okay.
Put your tongue away, please.
10 out of 10. My mouth is watering. Should we go to a break?
We need to take a break.
Let me get a water. Ooh.
The The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true. But shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son, George, on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. You've never seen a mother and son duo like this before. This show is full of wit, scandal, action, and did I mention Julianne Moore? Okay, something this audacious and sexy is as genre-bending as it gets, and you won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app. Okay,
and
we're back. And it is a spooky in the boudoir.
For this week's Fright Feet, they have to eat a bulb of garlic. Fright Feet?
Fright Feet. Is that how you spell it, you think?
Fright Feet. F-E-E-T?
Girl, for Fright Feet, they should have to suck on some toes, girl.
With some long toenails
on. Some nasty
for this
feet.
Week's, isn't feet F-E-I-G-H-T? Or is that fate? Oh, God, delete
fright,
it.
Fright Fright?
Hey, this is... Hey. We're starting over. And we're back!
No, ooh. I want to keep all of it in. I don't care.
They have to eat a bulb of garlic and chug pig's blood. Ethically sourced, of course. Sorry, vegans. I don't believe it was pig's blood. They
what
were
do you
making
think it
more.
Was?
Beaches? Just like red, thick syrup. It was. It
How do
like,
you ethically source pig's blood? I guess if you are.
If it's a
from an ethical meat source and you say, please drain the blood just, into these bags for us. Can you drink
if it was
raw blood like that?
Probably. But if it was pig's blood, they would be making more of a deal about drinking the pig's blood than they would about eating a bulb of garlic. Don't you think more
also,
of them would have been like, oh, I'm not going to drink. Oh, my God. It's so thick. Oh, it's gross. Instead, everyone was just chugging it and being like, the garlic, my face burns.
Do you ever watch competitive eating?
Yeah, I love watching competitive eating. It reminds me of a party I just threw called Fat Slut.
Oh, in which
where
you
we had sexy competitive eating.
I feel like I would have tried to, because first of all, it was like a timed competition, but it became clear a lot of people weren't going to make it through.
Absolutely.
And so it became more about strategy. I feel like I would have peeled.
I would have gotten the garlic paper off. Because at one point there was a trash can next to them that seemed like, hey, throw the garlic paper in here.
Well, maybe they were supposed to eat all of it. But what I would have done is like peeled and like popped those garlic moments in my mouth. Because sometimes if I'm not like if when I used to tour a lot and I was under the weather, I would just eat cloves of garlic. And
no, I know.
Squirt
I used to
honey
do that.
In my mouth. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So I'm like, I would have done that. And then I would have sort of wadded up the paper and like sort of swallowed it with the blood, like you know how in competitive eating they like break up into pieces.
Yeah, yeah.
That,
they'll
like,
dip the
it.
Hot dog like bun
I can't
in water.
Taking a bite like an apple out of a bulb of garlic.
I would have gone full Chef Gordon Ramsay and like gotten
pulled
the garlic
out
bulbs out. Yeah, I would have brought my knife. No, but I would have like taken them off individually and maybe even swallowed them with the paper on. But anyway, Zavaleta was focused on winning. Her face said it all at the end when it was bright red and she finished chugging it.
She was
the shit out of that.
She was like, Diva, I came to play. So for winning, she gets to pair off the monsters.
It seemed like she didn't have a good plan of action
no
to
plan.
Like throw anyone under the bus. She truly in the moment was deciding. And the minute the Boulets would have said that to me on stage, I would have been like, which two of these girls are fighting? Who can I put together that will not match? But she in the moment was like, you two. She put
like
Saint-
why didn't she put Mary with Astrid?
Yes. Why wouldn't you put two people that are like feuding and clearly completely opposites? And anyway, she chose Saint as her partner.
I also I feel like this is a through line with Zavaleta that it's like in that, that's kind of how she does a fight too. She's like, I'm here to fight, and then has no point. And then with this, she's like, I'm pairing you off. You're up first. And then she's sort of like, what have I done?
And it seemed like it was taking her a while on camera, which means it took longer when you were in the room. I'm sure people would have been like, just hurry up, girl, pick. So she puts Mary with Coco.
Mm-hmm.
Which I didn't think there was going to be a problem there. And then
no,
she put Sigourney and Astrid.
Just not a team player. I think that's what it comes down to. I think Coco's like, it's got to be me and myself and I.
It seemed like it was, it felt like that, but it seemed like they were trying to make it seem like Mary was the problem.
I mean, they were trying to make it like that, but every time Coco would like talk about anything, or every time Mary would like pitch an idea, Coco would be like, I don't know about all that, and just sort of like move away to like doing her wig again. And I was like, Coco is the problem here.
Yeah.
Okay, so say the part.
Sigourney and Astrid, Dolly and Hoso. Dolly. Oh. And Hoso and Betty and Jade.
And I thought, I mean, because a lot of these I thought were like really good.
Yeah, really good. Like Dolly's makeup and Hoso's makeup go together so well. And like their aesthetic is pretty similar.
Honestly, I feel like had she just switched Astrid and Mary and Coco and Sigourney, the Coco Sigourney would have been like slutty vampires together. The Astrid and Mary
and Sigourney together, because they literally, she keeps telling her she's playing a game, make them partners.
Yeah.
And she'd be paranoid the whole time.
Yeah.
Totally. That Sigourney was going to throw her under the bus. And Astrid and Coco, I don't know, maybe they would have butt heads too.
No, I see it the other way, but that's fine. So let me ask you, if you're paired up and you didn't think you were going to be paired up, like all of these queens got prompts ahead of time. They've all prepared looks, and a lot of the looks have like maybe prosthetics or special makeup. They're going for a specific vibe. Now,
but
are you supposed to throw that out the window and like make matching swimsuits so you look like how the Boulets looked in the beginning on Nightmare Beach?
No,
are you
but
supposed
if you
to
listened,
be a pair?
But if you listened closely to Mary Chair, our sage wise advisor, she
don't call her old
turned to Coco and was like, yeah, girl, that's why the prompt said this. Like, she was like, my beach outfit isn't 60s. I didn't do that. And she's like, the prompt specifically, like, named, and I forgot what movie star, but it was like
Anne Margaret.
Yeah, and she was like, it's specifically supposed to be this style.
Right.
I don't know why Mary, I know Mary listens, but I don't know why Mary said that. She did not follow the prompt either.
Well, she said, yeah, Anne Margaret, I'm going to be a fish.
I'm going to be a fish, an angler fish.
But ultimately, at the end, they did commend her on her look and her inspiration. And so I get that. And that's cool. I think part of the thing that was confusing to me as a viewer is I was unclear what the duet meant. And we'll get into this when we watch the floor show and the presentation. But I was unclear. I was like, as a duet, does that mean you're doing something together or you're supposed to adjust your looks? Because one of the biggest thing that comes into play is that Astrid and Sigourney decide to sort of not do a gag that they've prepared for their look and adjust them so they're matching, they're closer in vibe.
None of these groups matched. Not a single one of them matched. None of them were at the same party.
I would argue that Betty and Jade.
Jade's matched. Absolutely,
similarly matched.
Because they both went for the Barbie.
Yes. They looked like a beach Barbie with like an adjustment that made them a ghoul.
They fit the prompt perfectly.
I did notice that the next day, on the day of the floor show, Betty walks in and walked right in and said, ooh, girl.
And it sounded exactly
like Drag Race.
Like Drag Race's Untucked, ooh, girl. I literally was like, did they steal the sound?
Me too.
It sounded exactly like it. Okay.
I was like, Betty, girl, different show.
I love the drama of the floor show is about to begin, warning the girls while they're all half painted. And
they're
then
90 minutes from being ready.
Yeah, and it's like, floor show is about to begin. The little one, it's the little one saying it. And they're all screaming, and it's like, am I going to have to watch this every episode?
You absolutely are. It's basically like, God, what do they do? I mean, it's just, it's a device of the show. They're always going to like do this fake out. Maybe episode 4, they do that, and then all the queens walk out in a robe, half done, with only one pad on, and they're like, Diva, we didn't
like,
have
enough
time.
Am I supposed to believe that they're not even, like, some of them are still eyebrow blocking,
and
it's
as
like,
they're running up the stairs,
they're like fully done and ready to do this.
Oh, no, this is my, I wanted to ask this question. The boudoir is obviously, like, a set. It's like a beautiful, well-lit set on a stage somewhere, because you know, it has three walls, and one of the walls is, you know, where the cameras are, is all open.
Well, I have a question, because when they show the boudoir, they cut to all these pictures of the boules on the walls.
Uh-huh.
But then when they film the room, those pictures aren't in the room.
Oh. Oh, they're not on the walls. That.
It just is a blank wall everywhere. So I'm like, is there a fake fourth wall?
I don't know. You know, on a sitcom when they like, you've seen the whole set from the same place, but then like when they're like on the phone in the back nook, sometimes they'll throw the camera around and you're like, oh, that's what the other wall looks like. I'm always looking through. But my question is, do you think the boudoir set is in a different building?
No, it's the basement of the Globe.
And they took it over for like 3 weeks?
Absolutely. Or maybe 4 weeks. This was all shot during quarantine, so there was nothing was happening at the Globe.
Because I'm just imagining...
And the Globe was under construction for so long that I'm sure they were just shooting it when that was all being...
The ceilings are so low in the basement at the Globe.
And the ceilings look low in there. Well, okay, maybe it is a different building.
This is what I'm thinking.
Maybe you're right. Maybe it is just like a set somewhere else.
And they begin their makeup there, and then they do that like alarm sound, and they let them like finish their makeup, but then they travel them to the Globe, and that's where they like get dressed to do.
That would actually make sense, because after the floor show, when they all walk down, they're just sitting in the green. They're just sitting
that's the green
next
the
to
cauldron.
The stage. The cauldron is just next stage at the Globe, because why not take them back to the workroom? Because it's a different building.
That's what I'm thinking.
I think that too. Well,
secrets of production.
Well, we really just went into it. Okay, so the floor show.
Yes.
The Boulez
girl,
model.
Talk about this look.
It was great. It was good. They a lot of hand. They were giving
those gloves were incredible. They were like mechanical. Yeah.
It was really cool.
It looked like a Kinex.
Yes.
And they posed in front of the Blood Moon, honey.
Yes, because it's that time, Mama. It's the Blood Moon beach party.
And they have spiky head. There's no wig. It's spiky headpieces.
Spiky headpieces.
And like a almost like a armor or like a harness or some sort of, what would you call
that? Yeah, some shoulder piece, shoulder accoutrement.
Yeah.
It was great. It was big. It was spiky. It looked heavy.
They looked great.
They looked
and
wonderful.
Guest judge.
Vanessa Hudgens. I mean, how many Drag Race references? She comes on and says, I'm so into blood right now.
I mean, which
is a reference to, I know, but it's just like she's even referencing the other show.
But let's be honest. I don't know that we can exist in a world where there's a drag competition show with a judging panel, a small challenge and a big challenge, and then some sort of
right
final
feet.
Thing to save someone without comparing it to Drag Race. I mean, I think you just have to.
And Gigi McGree is there.
Do you know?
I think maybe she wrote songs for Katy Perry. She was like I think she's done a lot of like cool music stuff.
Here's the thing.
Could be thinking of someone completely
different. We have a really small world, and I don't know everybody in the world. So this person, I don't know. But the Boulez say, we're so excited you two could join us. And the stage is set like a beach. Right for the floor show, so they put out
Vanessa
like,
Hudgens and Gigi McGree are like best friends, apparently.
Oh,
okay.
Got it. And I think they had the same stylist that day because
yes,
they really
they said,
styled them like bookends.
Yes, and they look. I mean, I like the little red leather cape moment on.
I
Gigi.
Thought Vanessa looked sickening. No, it looked like she was going to Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yeah, she was having a wonderful
Halloween-y
time.
Night.
I did like how excited she was to be there and how many like fun, hip, cool buzzwords she was able to use.
Well,
she said fit.
All the outfits were fire. Your fit is fire.
It's fire. I was like, oh my God, stop. You are older than me. Please talk normal.
Your fit is fire. Not to say that. Who did she say that to Astrid?
No. It was
Zavaleta.
No, it was
Saint.
The winner, Saint. They both wanted Saint's outfit, and frankly,
oh, yeah,
so
like,
did
can
I.
Can we borrow that? Saint's like, I'm a man.
Might smell. The stage is set like a beach, and all the monsters are laid out, bopping to the song, the Gothic Surferama.
Now, all, correct me if I'm wrong, but whenever they lip sync on Dragula, isn't it original music for Dragula, or do they sometimes license music?
They sometimes license music. So I don't know if this one's a, I don't know if this one must be, you gotta search it.
I'm gonna search it. It's one click away. The Gothic Surferama by the Vampire Beach Babes from 2009.
So they licensed it. Good for that. Well, they have Shudder money now.
They have that Shudder money, honey.
They have money to pay people now.
Well, not the contestants. I love that. I mean, I was confused, okay? I'll just say this. I was confused. I liked when the floor show started and they had the little square and they had everyone's names.
It was long, and I kept on waiting for when the duets were supposed to happen. I was, like, waiting for them to, like, step forward and do, like, a little soft shoe or something. Because there was all this talk about, like, you're going to have to choreograph it and know what you're doing. And I thought maybe they were going to write lyrics. I didn't know what was going to happen. But they got out there and they all just stood in their little spots.
So they were each sort of staged in an area. Did they each do the entire song? Like, did we watch the song six times in a row? Or did they each have a little section that they had to do? Because sometimes the camera would, like, start on one pair and then move to another. And the song only played once. I was just confused at what the judges ended up judging them on. Because we did not see, like, I would have preferred to see a split screen of five different pairs of people each doing the same part of the song and then a master cut. But you would cut to a pair and then you'd see other queens behind them. And I'm like, well, who am I supposed to be watching?
Yeah, I don't know. And it just felt so long.
Well, here's a real question.
Felt like it didn't end.
Have you? Well, it did end because, you know.
No, I'm still watching it in my mind.
Have you ever lip synced with vampire teeth then?
No, but bitch, that looked hard.
Everyone looked like they didn't know the words.
But it was like a lot of like also like hitting S's. Them back. And yeah, like you could see their tongue holding the teeth at some point because like they didn't want it to fall out.
And they couldn't close, a lot of them couldn't close their lips around the teeth. And so it just looked like they didn't know their words.
Yeah.
And then later when Mary was like, I forgot my words, I'm like, girl, bitch, you could have not said that. And they just assumed you hit the words because you had spiky teeth in.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Oh, well. All right. Before we move on, let's take a break.
Okay.
Okay, we are back
from
break.
And
before we get to the judges quickly, at the end of the like lip sync, did you sing that whole time? We went to be spooky. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but it's okay. I did it.
Oh, okay. Can we start again?
No, keep going.
Ah! It tastes like my own medicine. So there's like the performance moment, right? So
yes.
Like, they all lip sync, and then there's, like, this vampiric, bloody, like, acting out moment. And, like, all of a sudden, Dali and Hoso are just, like, covered in blood and rubbing it on themselves.
The slapping each other was so fun.
Yeah. And Saint, like, bites into Zavaleta's neck, and blood drips out from everywhere. Sigourney and Astrid are making out with the blood.
Yeah.
But remember earlier when Sigourney had said, you need a man.
Yeah, she was sucking on that stanky breath.
That was bold.
That was very bold, but also I approve of that behavior. I think if someone's breath is bad, you gotta tell them.
But I think you should also wait until they're not talking to the producer in the camera and they move on to the next person and say, babe, grab a mint.
No, but that's Sigourney being fun and friendly and fun on camera.
Not friendly, being fun for us, the viewer. Because when she said, you need a mint, I said, ooh.
I did too. It gave me the same. See, now that was my jump scare for this episode. Last episode, it was Darren Stein. This episode, it was you need a mint. And I turned and I went, oh, she's so mean. Ooh.
And then, okay, let me ask you this question.
Yes.
Do you think that Betty's wig falling off was on purpose? Because she had a full ball cap.
It was a full ball
on.
Cap. I think it was. It
and
didn't look like a hairnet.
Ears. It looked like she was giving a vampire who is also kind of like the witch from the movie The Witches, where yes. they're all ball headed.
Yes.
And because then she rubbed sunscreen on her head and all over her titties.
Yes. I believe that was on purpose and they turned it against her.
They did turn it against her. Okay, so what happened before the judges panel?
The Boulay brothers have a sibling chat, just the two of them. They talk about Mary Cherry and that dang aunt, and that damn aunt. I can't read.
You don't have to read. Just sort of look at it as we're talking. But here's my question.
They did say that she was like upset during the performance. And then, of course, they gave us that good old behind the scenes, which I hope they do more of that throughout the season, showing Mary Cherry literally on stage turning to Coco, like giving her shit, like being like, what are we doing? And having a stank face.
Yeah, Mary was like clearly plucked during the performance and let her anger towards her collaboration with Coco just sort of like color the whole thing.
But then later Coco was like, yeah, she didn't like what she was doing, so she tried to up it. And I was like, yeah, she did up it. And then she also upstaged you when she moved her entire anglerfish body in front of you while you were laying on the ground.
Yeah, and I mean, the Boulays make a good point, and I think we talked about this when we had Mary on Sloppy Seconds a while ago. It's like, the charm of Mary Cherry is that she's a go-with-the-flow gal. She's a yes. sit in the corner in a wig and sort of yell at people. She's
absolutely.
A get up and smash a beer can with her titty and just sort of let the night happen. But yes. because she's not, you know, stumbling around Metro in Brooklyn, but she's up on a global stage, like, performing, there's, like, a different element to it. But I sort of loved this, like, they were like, you know what, let's not have Vanessa and McGee up here. Let's do our
yeah.
chat
well,
alone.
And they said, like, we know our monsters better than anyone. And also, it's like, what do those guest judges really know that much about Ookie Spooky Drag?
Well, they're into blood right now.
So, yeah, I kind of agree that Mary kind of fumbled it. But I also think that, like, I think she was having a good time. She wasn't being the Mary that we know and love.
Well, no, she was absolutely not having a good time. That was the whole point.
But I think that, like, maybe if memory serves her, she wouldn't remember all the stank face. Because Mary is unable to filter what happens in her face and what comes out of her mouth.
Okay, so additionally, the Boulay brothers talk about how great Zavaleta was this week, how she roasted the challenge, how she
but
really...
But they did say that they're concerned about her wardrobe in comparison to these other girls.
They did, but I'm like, she but I'm should also wear like, that she's... boudoir look, girl, when she came in with the leather bib.
Yes! What? I turned to Michael and I was like, I mean, this is an incredible look she should be wearing on the show, not just, like, in the boudoir. Like,
yeah, it put a wig been, on, diva.
Yeah. Or glue a little hair to your head. I like when she had that little
spit girl
thing for her. Yeah. Then they get the full panel of judges, and they said that they'll be judging their monsters individually, not as a team.
And that was kind of a gag because...
That was a full gag.
Everyone was like, wait, we're being judged in our pairs because it was duets.
It was duets.
Categories for judgment are their original look, their lip-sync performance, and their work with their assigned teammate.
What do you think that means?
Girl, I think the producers and the story editors were in the Boulay's ears telling them how the relationship went. But I also think it was fairly obvious. I think they can look at Mary and Coco and be like, well, they weren't getting along. They mm-hmm. can look at Hoso and Dali and be like, well, they were playful, but they weren't completely in the same world. You know, Dali was like telling their own story.
But
and
Dali's
then,
was, I okay, first of all, I love Dali's. Yes. I love that flasher that lives next door. It was very John Waters beach party. Like,
totally.
He was there to flash me. Like, I love that.
And, but then, like, a pair, for instance, like Saint and Zavaleta, their entire story was about the pairing. And I think that's why they were in the
yeah.
top. So
and
that's
they worked well together.
Happened.
So Jade, Mary, and Sigourney are safe.
And then we get our line, which I think we're going to get every episode. Which
absolutely.
Is we're not here to judge your drag. Drag is art and art is subjective. What we are judging you on is your drag as it relates to this competition and the challenges we've put before you.
Astrid, judgment. Girl. The judges didn't like her look. It was underwhelming and dull, they said. And then she...
Well, Vanessa told her maybe she could do with a little more pizzazz.
And Astrid even interrupts the big one to try to explain herself. It was a tense moment. It was so tense that even our special guest judge, Gigi, what's her name?
Yeah, Gigi McGree.
Gigi made a face.
Well, girl, because when the Boulets are talking, you are meant to listen. They'll give you time to talk back. Yeah. But Astrid is fairly verbose. Like, I think she tries to not only explain, but then re-explain. Mm-hmm. And so I think she
was panicked.
Felt like she didn't get her point across. And girl, did you see the one clasp her chest?
Oh, which she interrupted?
Yeah.
The little one? Like, yeah, she was like,
you're going home.
Absolutely. And not only to interrupt her once, but then when she goes, you go, if they say you go, always say, no, you.
No, I'm sorry. I'd like to hear what sorry. You have to say. I'm sorry.
I didn't mean to interrupt. But she heard you go, and she said, right, let me get into this spiel.
She said, I will tell you that Sigourney made me cancel my big dress.
But the whole time that they were interviewed earlier, she kept on saying, we're both compromising. We're both getting rid of things, and we're both doing this together. Uh-huh. But I was like, based on the picture that Sigourney showed of her outfit, she didn't get rid of anything. She didn't seem to have compromised.
Oh.
Because you know how they pan across each one of their, like, their drawings?
Oh.
Her costume was exactly what it was.
Oh, yeah. It was the swimsuit.
Yeah. Okay, Zavaleta. The judges loved her performance.
Correct.
But her look could have been more. But it's still great and detailed, and her performance was spot on. Her drunk on blood bit was cool, and her vampire teeth were very cool. Dolly did her Nosferatu, which was unique and specific and fully in character. The shy, short, goofy vampire. The judges loved this take on the look.
You were just reading my notes.
And the performance was committed the whole time. Well, we already said that. Coco, okay. She was praised.
Yeah, they said she looks like a gorgeous stripper hoe vampire, but she was clear that her partnership with Mary was strained. And then they were like, girl, you were doing all these moves, but you did them behind a full-bodied Mary Cherry, so no one saw.
Do you think that maybe when she was doing that, she was like, well, the camera's going to come around again, and I'll do it?
No, I don't think she has that wherewithal. I think in her mind, I think the moment the breastplate is on, Coco thinks no one can do anything but look at her. She really has that, like.
But that's true, though.
It's true.
I'm sure at her local bar.
Well, I'm also sure if she was walking the runway alone, if she was doing her floor show alone, I think the tea is she is fully in her fantasy. And when she's on that stage, she's not thinking about where the camera is. She's not thinking about if Mary Cherry stood in front of her. She's thinking about her fat ass and those big titties and like what a beautiful vampire she is. That's all she's thinking about.
Well, Hoso was a beautiful lifeguard with a wonderful reveal. She was cute. I do love that her and Dolly both revealed at the same time. And it was, it was cute. Betty?
Let's talk about Betty.
She didn't look like she wanted to be on that stage.
There's something about it. I've seen her perform before, and she is such a seasoned performer, but I think this is another thing that's very similar to like the conversation the Boulets were having about Mary Cherry. You put on a song that Betty knows how to do at any drag club where all she has to do is get in front of an audience. It could be a big stage, a small stage, a go-go box, no stage, a flat ground. She will turn the fucking party because she has been in every kind of drag at a club scenario.
Absolutely.
I think where she hasn't been is on a TV show before. And it's something really, really hard that if all of a sudden you don't do choreography and you're like, fuck, I need to stand right next to my partner, or there's all of these other things. There aren't just like people smiling up at me with dollar bills. There are camera crews and stank face production people. And, you know, it's like, I don't know if everyone was smiling at her or not, but I feel like she couldn't. I feel like Betty's the kind of person who wouldn't be thrown by like stuff at the club, but is totally thrown by the TV production.
Yeah, because there is no audience. You're just performing for, like you're saying, just like a room full of silent people.
Right. And someone's in the corner like texting about like the lunch catering.
Yeah, they're like literally not
paying
attention to you at all.
They're doing everything but watching you aside from the people in the camera. So I don't know. I mean, I would love to talk to Betty about her experience at this. What it really ultimately seemed like is that she's a like a solo performer and not a choreography girl, and the choreography really threw her for a loop, and then she just let that get the best of her.
Yeah.
And let's talk about Saint.
Saint, the look is perfect. She can do no wrong. It was incredible.
And
it
they
was
showed the drawing simple. Of this yeah. look like four times in that first act in the boudoir.
Absolutely. The little one said that the look is cunt.
She was like, this look is cunt. I feel like I've never heard the Boulay brothers say cunt before.
Me either.
She said, well, this
unless
look
they
is
were calling
cunt.
Me one. Wow. Now, her connection with Zavaleta was great, and the performance was fire, as Vanessa Hudgens said.
Yeah.
That this was fit so is fire. Fire.
The fit is fire. Okay,
it just
so,
doesn't sound natural coming out of her mouth. Like,
well, because
it just
Vanessa
didn't...
is like my age. She's like almost 40. Like, yeah. don't talk like, maybe she's not.
I think she might be closer to my age.
How old is Vanessa Hudgens? Oh, 32.
Oh, wow.
The age is fire. I did like the... I did like that Zavaleta was like, you are my childhood. I grew up watching you in Mexico. Like, that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
But also, Vanessa's reaction was like, uh-huh. Like, she was like, please do not say High School Musical.
Yeah. She was, we're soaring.
We're flying. There's not a star in heaven that we can reach.
If we're trying. Yeah, we're breaking free. What would you have done if you were a vampire beach?
Well, I do think how you just said it is kind of an interesting, like, there is kind of a pun there, like, of, like, not beach, but bitch.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a vampire beach. You know what I mean? I don't know.
I'm a vampire beach.
To me, I like modern takes of vampire. I know
me that too.
This challenge wasn't called Vampire Beach. It was called Nosferatu, which means like an older vampire. But if you're in the school of like True Blood or Twilight, those vampires are old, but they progress with the times.
Yes.
So I think it really is. It comes down to what Mary Cherry was saying about the prompt. If the prompt said like 60s Anne Margaret Nosferatu beach party, that's one thing. I feel like I don't do drag, so my sort of like male drag character, I would have done like a varsity like Letterman jacket.
I was thinking of doing like Sandy from Grease, but yes. like at the like something that was like it. I don't know.
And I also think the Modern. Thing that Astrid was saying
or
about
what if I was like the what was the who's the little girl with the dog biting her swimsuit?
Oh, the Coppertone baby?
Yeah, but it's like
but
the Coppertone baby, but she's like fully Nosferatu, like bald, big ears, crazy teeth.
That
always
would
turned
be really
sideways.
Yeah.
That would have been cute.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know. Like, I like that True Blood moment, that like modern vampire. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it would have been interesting to do like have a sunscreen like bottle, but it says like moon screen, you know, like
no, they had that. They had vampire sunscreen. Hoso brought it.
Oh, okay.
And well, that's what they were like squirting on each other, I think.
Got it. I mean, that's the other thing is like this was so focused on, they kept saying it's about the performance. Like normally everyone gets like to do like a little gag, like have a
yeah.
prop gag. And I think that helps
and the only
tell
gag
their
was
story
like,
further.
They gave them like a half gallon of blood and were like, play with this.
Well, regardless of what we would do, Saint is the winner of this challenge. So congratulations
deserved.
To
deserved.
Saint.
Then in the lowest scoring, we had Astrid, Betty, and Coco.
That's right. Let's take a quick break and we'll get into our final seggy.
What'd you call me? And we're back
to the
extermination challenge.
Okay, so Astrid and Bitter Betty have to do the extermination challenge. They land in the bottom. And I'm thinking, like, part of me is like, shouldn't the extermination challenge be more of a secret? But then there you get that really good thing where, like, they're on stage, they find out they're in the bottom, And then the Boulets say what they have to do. And then they get to spiral about it backstage with the other queens. So
and
it is
when
really
you
spark.
Say spiral, so, I have never seen a spiral like this.
Well, the extermination challenge is they have to submerge their... This is what is said. They have to submerge their limbs into leech-infested waters, which made me think of their limbs...
I thought, you're getting in a tub. And there's like, leeches.
All four. I didn't think like torso and genitals. I thought all four limbs. And
so how would they do that? Hang them like a dog getting a haircut? You know how they put them in those like
yes,
little,
hang them like a dog getting a haircut. And like I was imagining four barrels full of leeches, and they sort of had to like stand and like put. So that's what I imagined.
But it was one arm in a fish tank. Still scary.
Still scary. But tell us before
honestly,
we get to
that.
Honestly,
the hardest part about doing that would probably be leaning over like that for that long. You know what I mean? That's the real challenge.
You get a little cramp in your side.
Backstage in the cauldron, Astrid is spiraling. She won the first challenge and now she's up for extermination. She's embarrassed. She feels like it's wrong. She feels like she shouldn't have given up her gag. She was losing her mind.
You've been in this position, right?
But I did not react like that.
Okay.
And I love Astrid, and I know that panic attacks are very real, and that that's clear that she was having one.
Right.
But the shit she was saying was so insane. And everyone was turning. It was that thing from Mean Girls when she was like, I could tell that I was being annoying, but I couldn't stop.
Right. Sometimes you really do just absolutely spiral.
Yeah.
And what I thought was fascinating was like when she was like, it's my fault. We were working as a team and it was my fault because I let you control me. Right? Isn't that what she said to Sigourney?
Something along those lines.
And I was like, wait a second. That's the most backhanded. Like, you're basically blaming Sigourney for convincing you to not wear your big dress. And I'm also like, did she post pictures of the big dress?
Oh, let's look.
But that to me felt like such a manipulative statement. And I understand that she was fully 100% spiraling.
But like, Sigourney said something back to her, I remember, that like bothered me. And I can't remember what it is. Astrid, show us the big dress.
Yeah. Astrid, if you're listening, come on the show and show us the big dress. It kind of feels like... Everything I've seen Astrid do, I've been really impressed by. I really enjoy her. I find her very captivating. And it just kind of seems like she can't win. Not like she's incapable of winning, but like she never like gets a break. You know what I mean?
No, because it's always just, yeah.
Even when she won the first challenge, the moment she reacted, not in like a pageanty way, like she wasn't like, thank you. She was like, for real? Me? Fuck yeah. You could see on the Boulets' faces that they kind of hated that.
Yes. Oh,
and
absolutely.
I was like, so she
they
won?
Want a contained girl.
She still won, but she can't win? Like, she yeah. won, but you hated her reaction? I'm like, damn. Because I just want nothing but the best for her.
I love Astrid.
Yeah.
But that, yeah, it's just, it was crazy. But also, like, she was just doing what Zavaleta was doing last week.
Girl, and then she was like, I deserve to be here.
Those were the exact words that Zavaleta said.
And then Zavaleta was like, oh, baby, don't be mean. Don't talk to other people. It's not about other people. It's just about you. And it's like, bitch, you literally.
But she had 24 hours to sleep on it. You know, she's grown since
then. She's grown since then.
Yeah, I feel really bad. I feel bad for her. And then also, like, there was no camera time for Betty. Betty was just sitting there like, I don't want to go home. Well, I'm Betty trying to do like, this for my community. And like,
she's like a grown-up woman who has like been through a lot. So she's like not going to spiral. She's just like sitting there crying and she's disappointed. And honestly, I think it did her good because she was so laser focused because she got to process it in her head.
Yeah.
And she wasn't exuding all this energy trying to throw it around the room. I think Astrid's downfall was that she threw it around the room so much that when it came time for the extermination,
she was exhausted.
I think she was exhausted
and emotionally and mentally. Yeah. And so physically.
Tell us what happened.
She was standing for so long in that room full of sitting girls.
Mary Cherry fully sitting on the couch. Well, girl, I don't know about that. With her flashlight hanging over her.
Yeah. So the extermination challenge happens. They had to stick their arm in a fish tank. Those suckers really grab onto them. When they show them like trying to pull them off and they're really stuck. That was
girl,
crazy.
And did the one jump from the tank to
no, I
Betty's
think she put
titties?
It on her titty. But I think they were like, hey, put it on a part of you that's real. You know what I mean? Put it between your tits.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like.
Because I guess that was the other
but
thing.
But am I wrong? That leeches, like, when they bite you in their saliva, it, like, numbs you so you can't
poison.
Feel it? Well, either way, I thought you couldn't feel a leech bite you. I thought that was the whole thing about leeches.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
I thought when they bit you, they like had something in their saliva that makes you go numb so you could have a leech on you and not notice it. That's what they would always tell us when we were Boy Scouts and we'd go swimming in the lake. They'd be like, check your body for leeches when you're out because you could have one and not know.
Oh, I had no idea.
Anyway, so they're in there screaming and yelling about these leeches hurting. I'm sure it hurts to pull them off, all those little teeth.
Yeah, I mean, I'm so curious what production, like, what is the contract they sign? And, like, is
I'm sure they're
the,
like, I hope you have insurance.
And I
well,
assume,
now it's on Shudder, so I'm sure they have insurance.
And I assume that there's, like, a medic, of course.
Yes.
And so I'm just thinking to myself, like, I wonder what that looks like. That's
probably
all.
Like a... Probably like an ambulance out back. Like, do you think that they're like that prepared or it's just like a singular safety officer?
I don't know. I have no idea. I'm curious.
I'm putting it out into the world for us people to call in and let us know.
If you know what the hospital precautions are, what the medical precautions are, let us know.
Unfortunately. Astrid loses and gets murdered on the beach with a rock by the Boulay brothers.
And this ties in, obviously, to the front scene.
To the opening scene.
Wait, one thing I did say, I was just distracted thinking about, like, the medical side of the leeches, is one thing that was clear is, like, you get to determine your fate in the extermination challenge. And I feel like this is... We're talking about season 7 over on Race Chaser, and you know Sasha.
Season 7 of what?
A different show that queens compete on.
Okay,
and
yeah,
you
yeah.
know Sasha Bell always famously talked about cracking the drag race.
She cracked
code.
The code.
Now I think a code, and this is probably very well known, but I think a code in Dragula is you can determine your own fate in the extermination challenge because that is what Betty did. She didn't walk in not in character. She was in character. She got in there and then she did exactly what you said. She picked leeches up. She held them in her hand. She posed at the camera. She put them on her chest.
She gave them something visually interesting to look at while also... competing in the challenge.
She went above and beyond, and Astrid just muscled through the challenge. And I think that is that secret extra bonus to crack that code and stay for another week. That's my thought. So I guess we're done. We'd be speaking
yeah,
now?
I guess Astrid loses and gets murdered, and it's over. I really wish Astrid would have stayed. But if Astrid didn't go home, would you have rather Betty go home?
No, I'm very happy Betty stayed. 100%.
All right. Well, goodbye, Fuglies.
No, you got to say goodbye.
Goodbye, Fuglies. Thank you so much for listening to Spooky Seconds.
Okay. Have you seen Finding Numi? Numi? Have you seen Finding Nemo?
Yes.
You know when Dory, I mean, not to bring Ellen into it, but you know when she talks to whales?
Yes.
I feel like that's how we sound when we're saying, Goodbye.
It is. It's just because we can't do the voice. Actually, one person has commented that you already sound like the big one. So no need to change your voice.
Well, then I don't have to. So thanks so much for listening to Spooky Seconds. It was awful, to have you join us.
Yeah, we hate you. Where can people follow you?
Why did you say that? You know that
you
that
can
was
find us
in reference to something else, you dumb bitch.
Okay, email us at sloppyseconds@gmail.com. Call in with a fun, spooky fact about Dracula at 213-536-9180.
Be scary about it. And also, just so people know, don't worry. We are on Tuesday. It's going to be a mix. We're going to also just be the two of us because Meatball has to tell me about Carrot Top.
Haven't talked about Carrot Top.
Fat Slut. I have to tell about the Berenstain Bears Fair. We have so much to catch up on.
I got
to
talk about Segway Los Angeles giving me a free Segway.
Oh my God. Okay. So we're going to do all that on Tuesday. So don't you worry. I mean, this coming Tuesday, we have a special guest, but the following Tuesday, we're going to have a catch up episode. So just stick with us for the ride.
You'll hear about stuff that happened 2 months ago.
But just stick with us for the ride. We're going to have a great time.
We're having a wonderful time.
Okay, bye.
Carrot Top, grab my titty. Goodbye. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Doodle-a-doot-doot, forever dog. To listen to Sloppy Seconds ad-free and one day early, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcast.com/plus.
Sloppy Seconds is produced by Forever Dog and Moguls of Media, a.k.a. Mom.
Hosted by Big Dipper and Meatball. Music, editing, and sound design by William Pitt.
Executive produced by Willem Belli, Alaska Thunderfuck, Joe Cilio, Brett Boehm, and Alex Ramsey.
Our artwork was drawn by Christian Cimarroni.
And our theme song was written by Mike Malarkey.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. The show is full of wit, scandal, action. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.